floor. And Lord, don't you know I'll have me a time with a poor man's lady. Hitching on a twilight train, ain't nothing here that I care.
Hello everyone, and welcome again to the Holy Commutes Wednesday edition. This is your weekly, daily morning wiffle ball podcast for the month of January here. Every day a different host, and today for Wednesday you have myself, Trent, and Austin. Austin, welcome.
Thank you, Trent. Good to see you.
We are, I should have said our last name, Stephis is our last name, and we are of the Minnesota wiffle ball scene. And surprise, surprise, this first episode is going to be a bit Minnesota-centric, but it's going to be the only Minnesota-centric one for the season, because next week we're going to be doing the UWF uniform rankings with some special guests, and so we'll be doing some UWF content. But for this week, actually, as this airs, it is 1 month away from MNWA opening day. That is our league, Minnesota Wiffle Ball Association. I know, the look that just came across your face was, we have a league? Yeah.
That it's exists?
It's 1 month away, February 5th.
February 5th.
Yeah, and so we are going to be kicking off our season under the lights in the dome. 1 month away. It's going to be great. Last week was a pretty productive week for MNWA, and so we did our division draft, and we discussed the future of MNWA a little bit, and our future with cut balls. And so we can talk about that a little bit later on, but the bulk of the show, or at least to begin with, we're going to be talking about the MNWA division draft that coincidentally went on between you and I, as we were the two managers of the teams that met in the MNWA Final Tournament Championship last year. And so you and I went back and forth. It was a snake draft. And we're going to go through those picks. And then we will be talking about the future of MNWA. But one thing I wanted to talk about before we get started is that we are going to be starting the MNWA podcast network. We're going to be doing weekly shows, maybe bi-weekly, and we're looking for hosts. So if you're listening to this in MNWA and you're interested in having your own show, go ahead and let me know, and so we can get you on there. It's going to be through the National Wiffle Network, and so it's going to be a network within a network. You know, it's pretty stupid, but that's kind of the general gist of it. You know what I mean? It's not like serious. It's just an outline of what we're doing. You know what I mean?
All stupid, no sense.
That's so right.
Yes.
All stupid, no sense. The wiffle ball story. And the thing about that, and the reason I'm bringing it up on this podcast, is because it's going to be, or at least one of the shows, or one aspect of it, or most of it, is going to be giving context as if someone wasn't watching MNWA. So it's not going to be all the time a super hardcore, in-depth stuff where you have to know everybody, and you have to be keeping up with it. We're going to kind of present it as a matter of fact, and just kind of, you know, from almost a showcase, like from an outsider perspective, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's going to be the plan for that. One of many things we're going to be trying. We're going to be trying our hand at live streaming over YouTube this year. Last year we did it through Facebook, and that worked out pretty well, but we're going to transition over to YouTube. We tried it when we were at UWIF, and it worked out pretty good. So we're going to be continuing that and doing that on the MNWA YouTube page. So we'll tweet out reminders for that, and hopefully be able to tweet out links as the games are going on. And sorry it's so much talking for me so far, but you know. But we can get started on talking about you and your moves in the division draft. I think it started out pretty hot.
Oh, yeah.
In an unexpected way. So we had we have eight teams in MNWA this year. And because of that, we have the even number and a decent amount of teams. So we are going to be doing divisions, two divisions of four. The bulk of the schedule is going to be division play with just one game in between non-division opponents. So there definitely is some strategy here. It's who do you want to be facing you most of the season, and who do you want, you know, in your pool, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so because you won the championship with the Elites, You went first, and then I with the Isotopes. We came in second, so I went second. So we go, and like I said, it's a snake draft. We have six other teams besides ourselves. We have four other returning teams from last year, and that's including the Buxtons, who have been around the longest besides that. The Knights and the Bobcats and the Condors. So three rookie franchises from last year and a very, very old franchise with the Buxtons. And we have two other teams this year, two new franchises, both started by guys who played last year in MNWA. Joe Juliet started the Mambas, and Marty Leis started the Camels. So a couple new teams who made some pretty big moves, and we can get more into the, we kind of covered those moves in the past, but we'll probably talk about them again leading up to the season. But yeah, so let's get started. You made your first pick, and why don't you tell me who it was and why?
Well, I went with the Buxtons with the first pick, and I just figured I like the competition, and I want to keep them close. I don't know. The last few years, we've obviously met in the championship, and what is it, like 3 out of 4? Or?
So it was, you met them in the championship for 3 consecutive seasons.
Yeah.
Up until last year, so 18, 19, and 20.
Right, and I just kind of want to keep up with them and just be able to see like where we're at during the season, and I think that'll be a good just bar setting for what this season will look like and the final tournament will look like too.
It certainly is the best rivalry in MNWA, and probably always will be, just because they're two teams that have outlasted most other teams, and the fact that they've always been good, and they probably will continue to be good.
For sure, yeah.
So there's that. So that's definitely, I definitely don't mind having to see Buxton's Elites more.
Yeah, I love it. It's always a competitive matchup too. Like, I like playing competitive wiffle ball, and that's what it always is. So it's something that I know that our team will really enjoy too.
Yeah. Next, I had two consecutive picks, and I went with what I thought would be the consensus first pick in this draft, and that's the Condors. And I went with them just because out of the 16 field that we're drafting from, they're probably the weakest team on paper. But that's not completely writing them off, because I think they're actually going to be making some moves, and they have pieces in the club on the club right now, and potential guys coming in too that could really make a difference down the line. So I think that the Condors are not somebody that you're gonna want hanging around, but yeah, it's just a team I wanted to face more of and keep in our division. And then with my second pick, so the third team in our division, it was the Bobcats. The Bobcats, managed by Ethan Fauble, they had a very big offseason, because they lost probably two of their best players in Tyler Rasmussen, aka Neutron, and the runner-up and MVP Eric Gunderson. But he filled him with HRL Egan Cy Wiffle, Wally Awoyinka, a.k.a. Nightmare, and Jason Wehner, a.k.a. Peanut, who was the Egan Rookie of the Year and is probably one of the better hitters in all of Egan. So I picked this team just because, it's one of the teams, it's got a very original MNWA feel, because Fauble and Gary Greggy have both been around since the very start of the league in 2011, so it's going to be cool keeping them. It's going to seem like MNWA for me. But it's also going to be great to like have more games against Wally, because Wally Nightmare is someone that I've only faced once a year for all the times that I've ever known him and played in the same league as him. And now this, like, I'm going to be for sure facing him 3 times in a year. So, and not pitching-wise, but, facing off against him. So yeah, it's going to be nice to kind of have that new matchup. And again with... The same can be said for Peanut, but also Tresden Harris, a.k.a. Diddy. He's also a gem of the Bobcats roster. He was the Hopkins rookie. So he's the Hopkins Rookie of the Year. So Fobbs paired up the two Rookies of the Years in HRL last year. So I really just want to play against Tresden, because I love the guy. He's a great teammate. That's going to be a fun team. Yeah, it's going to be a fun team, and it's going to be a competitive team, too. It's someone I could seriously see them going to the league championship.
Mm-hmm.
The division championship series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely I can't wait to face them.
Love that team. I think that's going to be a competitive team. And, you know, last year they already weren't, you know, they were competitive in a lot of their games. And
mm-hmm.
I think just the pieces they have added, that's... impressive to see. And
is there anything you wanted to say about the Condors, by the way?
No, I mean, just kind of along the lines of what you had said, like, I think they are making a lot of improvements, and I think they're also going to take a step up. Like, I just, in my head, I think all the teams are getting better still. Like, you know, I know it's like kind of hard for that to happen, but I just think the people that are getting added, like, this is probably like one of the best, like, you know, like, free agent pools we've ever actually had.
So oh, definitely.
Something that, like, you know, when you see and, like, you actually see these rosters built, it's like, you know, there's going to be bad teams, obviously, but on paper right now, it just doesn't look like it.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. It was a lot of hard decisions, I thought, during this draft for myself, just being kind of in the position that I was, especially with that second pick there, because then you're kind of saying, okay, I'm getting the best team out of these three.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
To round out your division, you made two picks from the three remaining teams, and why don't you tell me about those?
Well, I went with the Camels first, and I went with the Camels because I'm, you know, I'm really intrigued of, you know, like, what Marty's done, and I just, like, I really like playing against him, and he's a good friend, so I think just, like, keeping him in the division, I think it'll be a fun time facing them. And
it's also sort of an iron sharpens iron decision here, because you look at this pitching staff, and you know, Marty is someone who's getting better every year. Sam Bliss is always in Cy Wiffle conversation. He's mm-hmm. a great pitcher. Matt the Wish Dean,
mm-hmm.
who's a really good he could be a fast pitch threat. I think I'm really interested to see how he does.
Yeah, another reason, just like being able to see these newer players too, like, again, and just
and like I said, the runner up from last year when we talked about the Bobcats, Eric Gunderson.
Yeah,
he was a beast last year both ways. He was one of the better two way players in the whole league. So I think that, and I mean, honestly, you could say Eric was one of the better two way players in the whole state all year, including HRL. So shout out to Eric for a huge year last year.
Yeah, he had a great year.
Yeah, and I know that, I don't want to, like, give out his personal details, but there was just, he had an accident. He was in an accident, it wasn't super serious, but it prevented him from playing in the final tournament last year. And I think that we saw the performance from the Bobcats, and he could have made them, like, they could have went on a run.
They were fighting hard that day.
They beat the Buxtons, man.
Yeah.
And so I think that, A, that says a lot for the Bobcats to do that without Gunderson, but B, I think that it says a lot to think about how much farther they could have gone with him.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really a huge pillar stone for Marty with this new team.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So I really enjoy, you know, just like the Camel aesthetic too. I really enjoy that. So
maybe possible a revenge game too for Evan Sibbett, because Eric Gunderson, I think, was the only person to score off him last year in the regular season.
Yeah, I think he had
with the walk-off home run. Walk-off,
yeah.
Otherwise,
then he had a perfect game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that way.
And it went into extras, too. So yeah. We had a regulation perfect game.
Bobcats were sneaky in that last year, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it'll be good competition again, too. And then.
All right. So just reviewing quick your division. It's the Well division, because the names of the divisions were actually not determined until the Buxtons were picked. And whichever division the Buxtons are in will be the Well division from
here on out.
That was
also a big thing of it.
Yeah, you want to be the Well division.
Yeah, I wanted to secure. That's why I thought
to secure the Well
division.
Yeah. Well, you should have, because I was going to take them if you hadn't.
Yeah,
because that was something I wanted as well.
The Well division, yeah.
Right? So the Well division so far: the Elites, the Buxtons, the Camels, and finally
the Knights.
The Knights.
Yeah, so I went with the Knights again.
The group of HRL vets.
Yeah, again, I just like the prospect of seeing HRL guys and just, you know, guys that we played against just like in this style too. I just think it's a good team, and I like, you know, like everyone on it too. I think it'll be a good matchup. They saw Webgem too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good team. Like, it's going to be a good matchup. It's like, whole division's good. Like, that's what I kind of wanted to go for. Just the competitive division. Kind of see what happens during the regular season, so...
And the Knights certainly bolstered their lineup, too. Or not their lineup, their pitching rotation when they got Tyler Rasmussen from the Bobcats, because he was their pretty reliable pitcher last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that just because also, you know, these guys have an HRL season ahead of them, Tyler might be shouldering a lot of the pitching load.
For sure.
For MNWA, just because he's the young gun, as a Z-Dog. And Z-Dog is someone... I think, like, if we made a list of underrated MNWA players, I think Z-Dog's probably top three, maybe number one. Because he was, you know, you think back to 2020 in that final tournament when he was with the Buxtons. He was a huge part of that. And his bat really helped him out that tournament. That was an all-around team effort, but I think that his effort shouldn't go unnoticed there.
No.
And then last year, in the final tournament, maybe he's just a final tournament guy, he had the Isotopes on the ropes. We were down to our last out before Sam Blohas walked it off. But we were down. We weren't even tied. We were down. We were about to lose and go to the loser's bracket against Z-Dog. So he held that lineup in check. So I think that Z-Dog is maybe... God, he might be a dark horse for a really important player this year, man. I would love to see it. I'd love to see Z-Dog really... Because, you know, WebGem's definitely the ace of that team. But to see Z-Dog step up and take over that number two role... And be in not even the number two role, but just be that guy that pitches every week, and then, you know, kind of like the Elites are probably going to do, and other teams, you're going to have one reliable pitcher, and then kind of a revolving door for that second game. That's maybe what the Knights will do.
Yeah,
and I think Z-Dog could be that pitcher, and it'd be great to see.
Yeah, I agree. It's gonna be really fun to see how it shakes out.
Finally, to round out my division, the B division. To recap, it's my team: the Isotopes, the Condors, the Bobcats. And finally, the Mambas. They are the last... They are the other expansion team this year, the last team remaining. And I think for very, very good reason. They're a team I definitely assumed was going to end up in my division, but definitely not by my choice.
Yeah.
Because I look at the lineup and just you see a bunch of really reliable guys.
Yeah.
Especially in the HRL setting. Like, you got Joe Juliet, their manager, Huck Finn... in Face, who are all three really good players both ways, by the way.
Yeah.
And then you have the absolute X factor of Andy Lehman, a.k.a. Cheerio, and Playoff Huck, who are both legends of the HRL postseason the past few years. So you think, are they going to be legends of the MNWA postseason this year? You know, we're doing a different style this year for the first time ever. We're doing the playoff series style, and so it's going to culminate in the final series instead of the final tournament, and so it's not going to be about one day. It's going to be about a series of days.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I said tournament earlier. I meant to.
Right.
Again, something exciting that we're doing, too.
Change, for sure.
Yeah.
God damn. It's just, they're a dangerous team, for sure, and I got to tell you, that like, when we were doing our warm... When we had fast-pitch practices this past year... one of the only pitchers I could never figure out was Face.
Mm.
I couldn't touch him in practice with the big bats, whatever. So, it's a dangerous team.
It's going to be fun to see...
It's going to be fun to see if they can get it all to come together, you know, to see if there's going to be any sort of, like, learning curve, just because they've all played MNWA before, but it's one thing to play and it's another thing to, like, manage and kind of be on your own. And not kind of have, you know, for let's look at Joe, for example. Joe doesn't have the luxury of playing with a founder of MNWA and one of the best players in MNWA. So, you know, and I think that Joe is very capable of it. Definitely don't get me wrong there, but they're a good team.
Again, I feel like every team we're talking about has this, like, they have X factors, like, everyone's, like, stacked, and, like, it's going to be fun to see. Like, obviously there's going to be... people that, you know, can only show up sometimes, and, you know, other factors, too.
Yeah, it's all hypothetical, and the season's definitely going to be different from what we're expecting right now. But,
yeah.
But all we can do right now is speculate, and...
it's fun to imagine what it could be.
So, do you see, when you look at my division, at the B division, is there a particular season series that stands out to you as most interesting?
B division is...
That's my division, so it's the Isotopes, the Condors, the Bobcats, and the Mambas.
I feel like maybe... I mean, definitely probably some Isotopes and Mambas.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's going to be intense series, and especially with like Huck versus Mib, and just, you know, just to seeing a new team come out, I think they're going to want to take a, you know, go hard against a team like you, you know, arguably one of the best team in the league. So it's just, it's going to be a fun series there. And, you know, I could also see like something with like the, like Condors or Bobcats, or even like the Condors and Mambas too, something like that, because I think the Condors are going to be scrappy and going to get some wins this year.
Me too.
Yeah,
I definitely do. When I'm looking at the Well division, obviously we talked about it before, Elites Buxtons, that's going to be the premier matchup probably throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's our Yankees Red Sox. So obviously I'm excited to see that, but just to give a little love elsewhere, I really think the Buxtons Camels games are going to be really good.
Yeah.
Because you have one of the Camels is Sam Bliss, who is a former Buxton, and another Camel, Gunderson, plays for the Americans, which is basically just the Buxtons in the HRL. So you have some current teammates former teammates,
yeah,
facing off.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be really fun. And then I think the two teams match up pretty well, actually.
They do.
If you go line for line, because, you know, I've obviously, or no, never mind. Okay. Sorry. I forgot for a minute. I thought that Peanut was on there and I got really excited because I've made the Peanut Peter Monster comparison before. So I got a little ahead of myself. No, but I mean, you go down these lines and you really see them match up, both in top end level pitching and kind of like mid level pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those games could be really good.
The Buxtons are just like so like original. Like they are still like, you know, they haven't, like, when was the last time they added someone? Like, did they add anyone this year or no?
No, the last person they added was Bliss, back in 2020.
Yeah.
But that was because we only had four teams and there was a lot of players coming in, and so they kind of like, not even took one for the team, but they just added Bliss because they also lost Newell too.
They keep it true and you know what you're going to get, so that's why it's also nice having them, because I just like, it's a fun rivalry. Like I always enjoyed the games with them.
Yeah, and you look ahead and it's just really interesting to look at the Well division and think that one of these teams isn't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because only three of the four teams, we're doing it, it's similar to like MLW style, I guess, is the most prolific one in wiffle ball, where it's, you have the two and three face off in a best of three, then the winner, then the one faces off against them, and that's for each league, you know what I mean? Two sides of the bracket, best of three.
Yeah.
I guess baseball does it too, dumbass. Whatever. MLW is something that everybody knows, not baseball.
Yeah. No, for sure, for sure.
So it's interesting thinking about that.
Yeah. It's going to be fun, like, knowing that, like, the regular seasons are going to mean something, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have pennant winners at the end of the year. The gold and maroon pennants. Which one do you want for the Well? What color pennant do you want for the Well division?
Let's do maroon.
Okay. Cool. There you go. Little inside MNWA action there, folks. On how the decisions are made. So I said we talk about it at the top, and I want to touch on it, and that's the cut ball future of MNWA. We were talking about instituting it this year, and we're still technically undecided about it, but we were all kind of leading towards no, just because we are doing expansion this year. You know, we're having the most teams we've ever had in eight. And so that's a lot of trust that we're putting in the players, and it's a lot of trust that the players are putting in us and as a league. And so we don't want to jeopardize that and turn people off. And so then, you know, we went out of our way to expand, and then teams end up not showing up because it isn't what they thought it was, because we made this, because it was a little sudden. But the truth is, I really want cutball to be the future of MNWA, just because I like the style. I think it has longevity factors in it without the base running. Yeah. I think that it evens out the playing field. And by the way, that doesn't mean like it takes good people down. Like, good people are going to remain good. So like, if you're good, well, just prove it in this other style. And if you're not that good, well, it's an equalizer for you out there. And I've seen it firsthand. You know, I struggle in the HRL. I struggle in MNWA, but I don't exactly struggle at fast pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because, you know, it's such a different game. And the other part of it is that I just don't want it, I don't want MNWA to become a clone of HRL. And that's not to say that that would be a bad thing, or we're not appreciative of HRL, because it's far from the truth. You know, MNWA wouldn't exist without HRL probably, and you know, in turn, MNWA has provided a way for guys to get to play more wiffle ball, and you know, it's brought rookies into the league just this past year, and it's provided two teams in Hopkins that are never question marks or never problems. You know,
mm-hmm.
The Mariners and the Americans have been cornerstone franchises in Hopkins. You know, obviously the Mariners aren't that good on the field, but you never have to worry if we're ever going to show up. You certainly aren't going to have to worry about, you know, us. We show up. Exactly.
We show up. That's about as much as
and
we do.
Exactly. We show up. So it's a bit of a two-way street, and I just want people to kind of expand their minds wiffle ball wise, you know, because there's this other style out there that's really fun, and MNWA could be a harbinger for it.
I think it can cater to a lot of different needs in the league and just a lot of different abilities. And I know, like, I just like I had said it during the call, I just don't think it like would really hinder a lot. Like, I know, and obviously, like, it maybe like hurt some people, but it just like, in my mind, I just like don't really see it being like that big of a change. And like, it just like still the almost exactly what we're doing, just still changed a little bit more. And as I think a lot of people could adapt well.
I really do too. And I think that people who have tried it so far here in Minnesota have liked it. They've taken to it, and like, people have really like, we had rookies come out and do for UWIF last year with face and stash. They weren't really planning on it until they tried it and they liked it.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, I think it's really fun. And so what we decide and what we think we're going to be doing is we're going to be kind of phasing in the cut ball with, because we have the choice now between the fast and the medium pitch. So we might incorporate a cut ball option in the future. And then down the line, maybe even get to the point where we take away, where we change it up and don't do base running and just do a, you know, I don't know, maybe not. Like you said, MNWA is an adaptive league. We're not set in stone. The way we play now is different from the way we played 3 years ago, which is different from the way we started.
Yeah, for sure.
So MNWA is an adaptive league. It's a fluid league. You know, nothing is set in stone. And I want MNWA to be able to be like people to make it what they want, you know? If guys want to use it solely as HRL spring training, well, at least they're out here playing wiffle ball, having fun with their friends, which is the goal of all this. This is why we do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but maybe there's guys that want to hone other parts of wiffle ball and try other stuff. And so there's that part of it too. And so I think that like having the choices and stuff like that, it complicates things, but it also caters, but it also scratches a few more itches than other leagues. And it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think that down the road, MNWA is going to cut ball. Whether we go full East Coast style and do no base running, I don't know. I love it, obviously, just because as people get older, they're going to want to do the no base running, because this, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again, base running is for the birds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's for the young people and it's for fast people. And we're getting to the point where those fast people are getting old and they're not being able to run so fast. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it's an equalizer for that. Say you're young and you're really fast and you rely on your speed to get hits. Well, guess what? You're putting the ball in play, first of all. And so that's only going to be helped by having a bigger bat and faster pitching, because the ball's going to be hit harder, and you're not going to be able to get out on a fluke play where they make an amazing fielding play. Like, it's an extra step. So if you're making enough contact where your speed is making a difference, that's not going to change with the big bat. You're only going to be making more contact because the bat's twice the size.
Yeah.
And so, but if you do rely on that, once you get older, you're not always going to have that. You're going to be able to, you're still going to be able to, you know, pay off from that skill that you have of putting the ball in play,
mm-hmm.
and having the contact. So it's just, I mean, top to bottom, it just helps.
Yeah. I think, like, over the time, like, we can, it's stuff we can, like, into, like, over time, like, put in, like, we don't have to do it, like, right now. Like, because obviously I think that would drive a lot of people away. So it's just
exactly
knowing that we have time to do it, too.
And that was a point that we kind of came to on the MNWA manager's call, was that it might be too much too soon because the system isn't really broken right now. So we don't really have to fix it, but it's just something that, like, I want. It's a seed I want to plant, and we're gonna be, you know, throughout the summer we're gonna be doing some organized fast pitch stuff under the MNWA. So like we'll probably record stuff and like do scrimmage. I mean, kind of, like we're not copying them, but kind of what you see with the Wiffle Tigers over in Japan, you know, pick up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That we kind of like record and put out. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But just to get guys introduced to the game and get guys developed for fast pitch tournaments, get practice for fast pitch tournaments.
Yeah.
And so kind of what we did last year with UWIF, but a bit more organized. And hopefully more people will come out and maybe it even evolves into a league,
yeah.
A summer league, kind of like Skippy has. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's just the promise that a new year brings.
Exactly. New year, new bringings.
That's such a common saying.
Yeah.
I can't stand when people say new year, new bringings. God. Thank you so much for joining us. You have another rip-roaring great time coming at you tomorrow morning here on the Holy Commutes Wifflebop Podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at Holy Commutes. That's Holy with an E. Austin, is there anything you'd like to say to the people before we sign off?
No, just... good to be back on another season, however many seasons we've done, and it's good to talk some wiffle ball again.
Yeah, and I would just like to say, well, Cracklin' Rosie, get on board.
Oh, Cracklin' Rosie.
We're going to ride till I can't no more.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say about that. Signing off for Holy Commutes.
Bye-bye.
Oh, they say the world's your oyster, man, but oysters ain't for me. You're the belle of the ball, but you ain't my cup of tea. They always vote you best in show, but this doggy disagrees. 'Cause I like life in Paddy's Pub. There's a place for me, it's the place I go, where the beer is cheap and the lights are low. It's Paddy's Pub. I like Paddy's Pub. Let the record show the greatest place to go.